are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Outspoken Radio with Donnie and friends right here on LA Talk Radio.
That's right, everyone. You are listening to Outspoken Radio right here on LA Talk Radio, where we come to you live every Monday night. Why are you laughing at me? I always mess that up. Why can I ever get the intro right?
Because you are preoccupied with other things, and you get in front of the mic, and you're just like,
I always. We're going to do it one more time.
One more time. Let's do it again.
That's right, everyone. You're listening to Outspoken Radio right here on LA Talk Radio, where we come to you live every Monday night at 7 p.m. I am your host, Donnie Meacham.
And I'm Rebecca
Tripp.
I was waiting for you.
Yes, I nailed that one. Don't forget, guys, first of all, we want to thank everyone if you're listening for the first time. We appreciate it much.
Thank you, you guys.
We'll be anticipably waiting for...
That's not a word, girl.
Google, anticipably.
Anticipably. You will come up with a big fact. Google will say, you are stupid. That's not a word.
Whatever. Bing it. If Google don't find it, bing it. Bing it don't find it, YP it.
We appreciate your ears, your internet,
yes,
your connection.
But if you're on, why don't you go check out our past shows in the archive page on the LA Talk Radio page, Outspoken Radio. You can check out all the archives.
Yeah, but not right now, girl.
Not right now. You want to listen to the show currently and then go listen.
You just stamped
to
your foot over there.
Archivial.
Did you stamp your foot over there?
I did.
You did, like a little horse, like reared up.
Whatever. And we're also available as an iTunes pie cut.
Yeah, we are.
Podcast. I'm not
did
getting
you
it
say
today.
A pie cut?
I'm not getting it tonight. I don't know. I think I'm nervous because, come on, it's Shelley Wright.
Yeah, Shelley Wright's amazing.
First of all, I was born in Shreveport, Louisiana, and I've just been a Southern boy my whole life. So,
except when you're a Southern girl.
Except when I'm a Southern belle. But that was later in life, at 20, when I came out, Southern Belle. But come on, the song Single White Female?
Mm-hmm.
Hello? As a single white female, looking for a man like you. Come on, who doesn't know that song?
Some people.
Well, everybody
Not
knows.
People listening to
no.
us. But I
and
do
shut
enjoy...
Up and Drive?
Yeah, I do enjoy how you tried to convince me that Shut Up and Drive was that Shut Up and Drive.
By the Rihanna song? I thought maybe it could have been.
No, girl.
You know me. My
just
mind.
Make stuff up. I do know you. You just make stuff up. You go, oh, this sounds right. I'm going to make it up. Tell Becca that's the truth.
Well, and you believed me at first.
I did believe you because I didn't think that you would lie to me about that. You were like, girl, the Rihanna cover? And
yes.
I was like, for real? That covered that song? No, you don't even know. You just were like, well, it could have been. What is wrong with you? Wrong. But we're very excited. I think it's just you're jazzed up because you're right. You're a fan.
I'm excited because I'm a fan and she's just an inspiration. And I think that, you know, she chose late in life to, it took her a while to decide, you know, who she was. And it was the right time for her to come out. And I think that that is wonderful. And I think for everybody has a different story. Everybody has a different time and a different place. And I know for me, even to this day, I have family members who haven't asked me if I was gay or not. I think it's just kind of like a given.
Yeah, girl.
Yet, yeah, girl. I mean, when I walk in, I'm like, hey, girl, hey. And that's to my granny. It's, you know, it's a little weird. But, no, and I think it's just like it's an understood fact, but we've never talked about it. They've never asked me. I've never told them. It's just kind of like an understood. Because at the end of the day, I'm still a little uncomfortable with it. And I don't know why. I don't get it, but... You know, it takes time for everybody, and everybody has their own time and their own place and their own feeling about, you know, how they should come out.
Well, and I think that, like, I would imagine that with all things, you fit into who you are the more experiences you have and mm-hmm. the older that you get. And I imagine the little bit of uncomfortableness that you feel or discomfort, that's a better word for it, that you feel with it, mm-hmm. is going to fade away the older that you get and the more experiences that you have. And I mean, there's parts of me that I'm still not comfortable with.
Yeah.
Like my left boob. Sometimes I'm not comfortable with it, but
sometimes
other times
you're not
I am.
With it.
But you know, like it takes time. And the thing about Shelley Wright is that she's very, I think, open with her experience because she wrote, you know, that book mm-hmm. like me. And I think she's very open about that experience. And it takes a lot to get to that point where you can just kind of lay it all on the table and say, this is who I am.
Yeah.
This is what I'm about. This is the experiences that I've gone through.
Yeah.
And so I'm good for her.
Yeah. I mean, awesome. I can see that. For me, it was hard to hide, really, who I was.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I'm not to judge, but I think it's easier for probably for a woman to, you know, disguise who they are a little more than it is for a gay male to disguise who they are. Because I think, you know, I mean, my voice is obviously 19 octaves higher than yours.
Yeah.
And
but that doesn't mean, but that's not, but I'm a girl.
And you're a girl. And, you know, and it's just like, it's, you know, effeminate nature and just, you know, I have a little, you know, I walk it out.
Yeah,
and
you work it out,
make it
too.
Work.
You're
and
thinner than Kate Moss, girl.
Oh,
you,
my God, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
It's true. That's Kate Moss's tagline.
I love that.
You're
I
tinier than Angelina's little Ethiopian baby, Sahara.
Maddox.
No,
Zahara.
Zahara is the one from that's Ethiopian. Maddox is, I think, Korean.
You're making that up.
No, girl. And then Shiloh is white as the day is long.
Shiloh's the one that's like wants to be kind of like a boy. How cute is that?
I think they want her to be like a boy.
But that's so cute. And you got to give kudos to them for allowing, you know, the child to just be who she is. And I love that. I think that's amazing.
Well, the child would be who they were if she was dressing up probably in like wanted to wear like a tutu with some like rain slicker boots and like bathrobe, but they're dressing her like a boy. The child isn't picking out what she wants to wear, I'm sure.
Well, you never know.
So it's like, this is gonna be so trendy to dress her like a boy.
Well, it's like, remember,
girl, what just happened?
I don't know. Oh, it's my mom. You know Mama Meacham.
Mama Meacham.
You know Mama Meacham works.
Mama
she listens
Meacham.
To every show.
Where is she? Why does she call yourself on and not into the... Because she knew you were having Shelly, right?
She texted me. Oh, and okay, because she's at her little beach house in Florida.
Ooh, so must be nice.
She's the flossy.
Uh-oh.
You know how that goes. But no, she just texted me. She's like, I can't get the show working. Sadly.
Keep working, Mama Meacham.
Keep going.
Keep
it
going.
Mama. You got it.
Keep hustling. Every day I'm hustling.
Oh, wow. This is like a musical song. It's like,
Do you ever, you know, do you...
We have a phone call.
We got a phone call. It's
Shelly
Wright. It's Shelly Wright.
Outspoken Radio. Who might this be?
This is Shelly.
Yay!
Hey, Shelly. It's Donnie.
And Becca.
Hey, Donnie and Becca. How's it going?
It's going wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. I have poor service out here in Manhattan. Tell me if you can hear me.
Oh, we can hear
we
you
can hear
loud
you,
and clear.
Fantastic.
We've been singing your praises.
Yes, we've been talking all about you.
You're sweet, thank you.
Yeah, because
nice to be on with you.
Oh, thank you. Because I was born. We were talking about. I was born a Southern boy. I was born in Louisiana and lived in Georgia and Alabama. So, country music is in my blood.
Good grief! You really are a Southern boy.
Yes, I am a Southern boy.
And Becca, what about you?
I grew up in the Midwest, but I do. But Donnie has also, since we've been friends, introduced me to a variety of music. With he sings.
Now, Becky,
he sings all the time.
You know that I'm a Kansas girl originally, right?
I do. And I know that you're also going to be in my hometown, Chicago, on the 7th, the House of Blues, with the Indigo Girls, which I am excited for you for, because that's going to be super fun.
Absolutely.
It's going to be cold. I think it might be a little cold there, but you're used to them. You're from the Midwest, so you're used to it.
Well, I got to tell y'all, I've lived in Nashville 22 years. This May, that's my dog barking. Okay? 22 years I've lived in Nashville, and I've also lived in New York City. I moved here a couple of years ago, but the older I get, the more I think, holy cow, did I really grow up in Kansas? I can't handle the winters anymore.
It
drops below 20 degrees, and I'm dying. Like I don't, you know, I'm old. My blood's thinning out. I'm 40 now. I can't handle it.
Tell me about it. It's like, I mean, in LA right now, it's probably only like 60s, and I have my winter coat on, and I have a scarf on, and I'm just, I can't do it. I want to be indoors, snuggled up under a blanket, because it's ridiculous. Your blood does thin, though. After a while, you just aren't used to it anymore. You can't handle it.
Right. Well, today in Manhattan, it was like 65 degrees, and oh, people were wearing shorts and flip-flops.
Oh, uh-uh.
It's our last taste of anything warm. So, because it's coming. We're going to have a hard winter, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
It's going to be rough.
Mm-mm.
So, but speaking of, let's talk a little about you. This has been a whirlwind, you know, last couple years for you. You've gone through a lot of things, you know, personally and career-wise. And you released an autobiography called Like Me.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of chronicling kind of the years that it took you to kind of come out and talking about, you know, being a lesbian and stuff. Can you tell us a little more about it?
Yeah, I did. I decided, Donnie, in the summer of 2007 that I was living just a life that was just not fruitful. Mm-hmm. You know, it was, I had come to, you know, and I'm not being dramatic about it, I'd come to my rock bottom. I was suicidal. I'd gotten to a point where I had a loaded weapon in my mouth, and I was ready to end my life, not because I was gay. I want to make it clear that I wasn't suicidal because I was troubled by being gay. But I was suicidal because I'd painted myself so masterfully into a corner of you know, just being very. I had these very real pieces of my life that I was pretty much pleased with. You know, I was a successful country music singer, the dream that I'd always had since I was a kid, and I'm one of the lucky few who that dream came true for. And I was also, you know, I'm a gay woman, and those two pieces of a puzzle just have never historically fit together for anyone in country music. And I had just created a life where, you know, I don't know what your personal situations are. I don't know if you're gay or straight, but I do know that when you are a person like me who hides, you just become very detached from everyone. That means your family, anyone you're hiding from. You don't have a real attached relationship to anyone. And I found that nobody knew me, and I was just living just an incomplete life, and the bottom fell out for me. Mm-hmm. And so I decided in 2007, I got to come out. Not only do I need to do it for myself, but if I could find myself at a rock bottom place ready to take my own life, I knew there were kids in Chicago or, you know, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, or Dothan, Alabama, who would find themselves sitting on the edge of their bed, you know, with a bottle of pills or a gun perhaps in their mouth. Mm-hmm. And I knew that, you know, how much more did I need? You know, I came to a crossroads where I knew, what does this say about me as a human being if I don't stand up not only for myself, but for just, and speak my truth, mm-hmm. and that, you know, and try to facilitate ease and understanding for young people. And so I began writing my book in 2007, and I did come out in May of this year.
Oh, that's very beautifully said. And I can, you know, I understand where you're coming from, because I personally am a gay male, and it took me so long. But I growing up in the South, and I think, you know, I hid for so long who I was that, like, nobody knew who I was, but I didn't even know who I was, because I was trying so hard to hide every aspect of me that it took me until I moved out here to LA to finally be able to embrace it and kind of just, you know, peel off the layer that I have built upon myself. And just the second I came out, not only to, I came out to my family, I think, before I actually came out to myself, I think, which is weird, because it took me longer to, because I said it to them because they already knew, but I didn't accept it personally. And I think,
well, and I understand what you're saying, Donnie, and I think in large part that has a lot to do with the fact that there are so few, and there have been so few positive role models for young gay people to see. So not only, you know, it's one thing to identify, to understand that you are gay, but to be able to identify in a positive light, hey, there's a well-adjusted, educated, productive member of society who is a gay person. I can be like them. I am like them. And, you know, it's one thing to say to your parents, you know, I am this because you guys, you know, you've identified me as that, but to be able to embrace it yourself and be positive about it, I understand what you're saying. There's a lot of validity to that, and that's why I think people like us need to be able to stand up and feel safe and confident and positive about saying, this is who I am, and let young people see that we're okay. We're okay.
Well, and I think it's so beautiful, too, that you have that outlook at this point and that you've shared it in a book. You know, like, I think it takes a tremendous amount of courage to put everything down in writing and to kind of open your heart and open your life and allow others in and to share that. And I think that that's where that leadership role and that role model role comes in, because you're kind of putting it out there for all people to see. And you also show that you took the turmoil that you were feeling, and you took all of this heartache and you put it into a positive, you put a positive spin on it. You wrote a book, you wrote several songs, you got an album out of it. I mean, like, you creatively transformed that negative energy into something incredibly positive for other people to enjoy and connect with.
Well, thank you for saying that, Becca. Actually, the songs off of the record that I have out now, I wrote them before I decided to come out. Those were songs that I wrote during my breakdown, which I now call my breakthrough. Mm-hmm. But those were the songs that I wrote in the darkest moments. But you know, and as far as what you mentioned about the book, you know, really putting it all out there, it was not easy to do. But I'm really proud of the fact that I did it, and you know, because I could have easily just Twittered, "Hey y'all, I'm gay." Mm-hmm. But to me, I've had so many people write me letters and approach me in person and say, you know, what an important bit of information it was for their book. You know, somebody wrote me a nice letter today on Facebook and said, "I want to thank you for not just putting out a press release that you're gay. Thank you for writing your entire story down," because she said, her name's Pat, I believe, she said, "My son is gay, and in reading your story, I became closer to understanding what my son went through in his journey to coming out." And, you know, just my hope when I wrote my book was, I hope I can facilitate a better path for a young person, but I had no idea that I would help close that gap of understanding between a parent and a child. And the blessings that writing my story down have given to me has just been unbound. I mean, it's just been unparalleled. But I do really believe that old saying, "To whom much is given, much is required." And boy, it's blessed me in so many ways. I can't even tell you.
Definitely, I can see, and it's so good that, I mean, it's so positive to see that something that, I mean, because you had, like you said, I love how you called it the, now you refer to it as your breakthrough instead of your breakdown, but it's like literally you did break through, because it totally, it seems like it rejuvenated your just outlook on life, it rejuvenated your zest for wanting to do, you know, country music, for wanting to get back out there, and feeling like, you know, you can be yourself. And when you can be yourself, you can do what you love, and you know you can do it right.
Well, that's it. That's exactly it, Donnie, because really, I was spending so much of my time, you know, this is my seventh album. I've been putting records out since 1994, mm-hmm. for 16 years, and so much of my energy and my day-to-day was spent on hiding and figuring out how to not get caught being gay. Mm-hmm. Now, my job when I wake up every day, that full-time job of hiding is off my plate. I have so much free creative space in my head.
Yeah.
And I get to, the philanthropic efforts and the advocacy efforts I get to do now are, you know, it's limitless, the things that I get to do. I get to now just be free like everybody else does. You know, it was a full-time job hiding. Can you imagine Alan Jackson getting up every day and trying not to be 6 feet 6 inches tall? It's a big burden trying not to be yourself. And it's, you know, I've had a lot of people reach out to me and say, "Hey, you know, after I came out," some people, I know they were well-intentioned, but some people from Nashville have reached out and said, "Hey, I wanted to reach out to you during this difficult time." And I've responded to them, I appreciate you reaching out, but this is not the difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
This is the good time. The past 39 years of my life has been the difficult time. This is the good time. I'm free. You know, I've paid, and also I'm a Christian. And being able to stand up and say I'm gay and I'm a Christian is just, it's the biggest blessing, because I really believe that God delivered me from my darkest hour. And I really believe that God whispered in my ear, not only are you going to live through this, you're going to stand up and you're going to say what you are. You're a Christian, you're a lesbian, and you are you, and you're exactly who I wanted you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, that, you know, I get to just be entirely me, and there's nothing better than that.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's like what we talked about. We talked a little bit last show about religion and sexuality, and like I said, it's like, for us, like for me, I consider myself a Christian as well. And it's like, it's God doesn't make mistakes. You know, he created us to be who we are, and he wouldn't create a group of people to be looked down upon. Like, he just created us as who we are. We're all different, but yet we can all believe in the same things. Like, we all want to be happy. We all want to find love and being accepted. And I think that that's one thing that's beautiful about your story is not only, you know, can only gay people relate to this. Everybody out there wants to feel accepted. Everybody out there, you know, whether they're overweight, whether they're, you know, different nationality, everybody wants to be accepted by those around them and those who love them. And I think that that's what is so powerful about your story is, you know, more than just the gay community can relate to it.
Yeah, and, you know, you're so on point there, Donnie, and I was so proud that one of my favorite authors by the name of Mary Carr, she wrote a great book called The Liar's Club and another one called Cherry and a bestseller this year called Lit. She read my book and she called me and she said, Shelley, I realize your story is not about a gay story. Mm-hmm. She said, your story is a spiritual walk and it's about, it really speaks to everybody. And she said, it's about what it feels like to be marginalized. And she said, this book is really about it's the human experience, about how nobody wants to be kicked out of their world. And, you know, imagine, I don't assume that everybody in the world is gay. Obviously, they're not. But imagine the one thing, everybody has something that makes them feel left out, like you mentioned, being overweight or being their skin being a different color than everyone in their school. But imagine that one thing that marginalizes you, and imagine it being a secret. And imagine that if that was secret and found out, that you would be kicked out of your school, you might be kicked out of your family, you might be kicked out of your temple or your church. That's what I dealt with, and that's what so many people like me and like you and so many of our friends deal with, and it's an incredible burden, and it's inhumane that we ask anyone to carry that burden. And you're right, nobody wants to feel left out.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've seen in this past few months with all the bullying and the kids taking their own lives, this is not a new phenomenon.
Mm-mm.
It just so happens that the mainstream media, we have their attention now. Gay kids have been being pushed to the margins of society for so long and taking their own lives for a very long time. This is not new. And you know, if there is an upside, which it's horrific to imagine that there's an upside to all of this tragedy that's happened, but if there is an upside, it is that we now have middle America's attention, that kids should feel safe in their schools and that kids should not be told from their preachers behind a pulpit that they are less than. We are all God's children and no one should be ostracized. Nobody. Nobody for any reason.
I think that that's an important point, and I think that as we were talking about previously, that you're a role model, I think that there are a lot of role models that are finding their voice, recently, and are speaking out. And I think that that is such a gift to the younger generation that are going through this right now and that are struggling because they actually have, you know, that there's faces to the feelings that they're having. There's people speaking out about it. There's people embracing it publicly. And I think that it is, you know, you're absolutely right. Kids have been dealing with this for years. People have been dealing with being gay and having to hide it for years. And finally, you know, the media has latched onto it because they're sensationalizing it like a lot of things, but at the same time, it is shedding light. I do appreciate the fact that it is shedding light on a situation that needs some light shed on it, because it's just a lot of hate for hate's sake. You know, it's just a lot of hate, and there's so much love that we can be spreading as opposed to.
And no kid in school should be bullied for any reason. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what, I was a poor kid and I got picked on for not having the right kind of jeans or tennis shoes. I mean, it's got to stop. Kids pushing other kids to the point of discomfort in school and emotional discomfort, that has just got to stop. We need to teach our kids to be kind. And you know, I spoke on the Larry King Live show a couple of weeks ago, and You know, we were discussing that kids are, we have grown-up bullies, and that's where our teenage bullies are learning it from.
Yeah.
We have got to learn, we have got to show our children and teach them by example how to be kinder to one another. And I, you know, I have to tell you, it's, you know, you mentioned a second ago, Becca, that, that, you know, kids are fortunate to see some of us adults standing up. I have to tell you, I'm getting more out of finally being out and being able to stand up and do this work now than, you know, I know I'm glad yeah. the kids are benefiting and I'm glad I'm being able to be helpful, but I got to tell you, my heart is soaring right now. I'm so happy and I'm getting so much joy out of just finally being able to stand up and walk in my truth. It just feels so good.
That's awesome.
It's so beautiful and so great to hear. One thing that we were reading and, we kind of got a chuckle out, and we thought that, you know, you are hardcore, was on your website, Shelley.com, Chely.com. We read your biography, and you were talking about how when you were writing your songs, you were playing your guitar, and you were literally playing until your fingers bled, and then you would put super glue on the ends every morning and keep sticking fake nails on your fingers so you could keep strumming.
That's true. Well, y'all, I didn't really play guitar at that point. You know, I'd always played, you know, three chords mm-hmm. like every country singer does, but I really had never sat down and written songs on a guitar. And when I had my breakthrough, it was in 2006, and it was in the cold winter months. And my house in Nashville is it was a really cold winter in Nashville that year. And I have a really beautiful three-story historic home there in Nashville, and it was just so dang cold. Mm-hmm. And my piano is on the first floor, and it was just too cold. So I retreated to the third floor where it was about 12 degrees warmer, and I grabbed my guitar, and I just stayed in my bed on the third floor, and I was like, doggone it, I guess I'm finally going to teach myself how to play guitar because I'm too cold to go downstairs. So I just sat there and just wrote songs every day in my bed for months. And you know, when you really buckle down and play guitar, your fingers, you know, they can't handle it at
mm-hmm.
first. And
yeah.
the songs were coming to me very quickly and at a really quick pace, and my fingers couldn't keep up. So I just, they really would bleed by, you know, mid-morning. So I just super glued them shut until they got calluses on them. So that's a true story.
That's
no pain, no gain, right?
That is a rock star.
That's
right,
rock star
there.
Right there. And I just want to, I read on Wikipedia, and it could be wrong, but just to clear it up, they said that you have a documentary that is in the works called Wish Me Away. Is that true?
Well, it's not actually my film, but it's a film about my coming out process. Two mm-hmm. really gifted filmmakers, Bobby Berleffi and Beverly Kopp, began following me with their cameras and their film crew, a small film crew, early on, back in, I guess it was early 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've been following my process of coming out, quite in depth, like really in depth. Mm-hmm. And I have not seen, it's not my film, it's their film, but
yeah.
I've of course participated to the fullest degree in the film, and I've yet to see one frame. I have no creative participation in it, but I've not seen it yet, but I know it's almost, it's in final edits right now and about to go to the film festival. So I'm going to see it after the holidays. I kind of don't want to see it right now because I know it'll be emotional for me.
Well, yeah.
But my manager has seen it, and he said he thinks I'm going to be really pleased with it because, you know, obviously I agreed to do it, and I, you know, I really thought it was there would be a value in a video, you know, a filmed record of the process. You know, my book was a written record of it, but not everyone reads books, and film captures things that, you know, filmmakers they're really good filmmakers. So I'm excited and a little bit anxious to see it. But it, yeah, it's called Wish Me Away.
Me too. I'm excited.
We're really anxious
to see it too.
So Shelley, very sadly, our time here has commenced. Want to say that I want to say thank you for personally as a gay person for being yourself and being unafraid of who you are. And to me, you are such an inspiration. And getting emotional. I want to just say thank you. And it truly means a lot that people out like you out there are telling their stories and being unafraid of who they are. And I really respect that.
Absolutely, both of us.
Thank you.
I want to say thank
you so much, and to you who, you know, you're open and out, and it's not lost on me that I, you know, I stand shoulder to shoulder with people like you who have been open with themselves and with their public for a lot longer than I have, and so it's not lost on me. I appreciate you as well, and Becca, thank you as well. Thank
Absolutely,
you.
Thank you. It's been wonderful talking to
and,
you.
And our dear friend Tony Sweet wanted to make sure that I said hello to you for him.
Oh, go so. Where find him in LA and kiss him for me tonight, please. Somebody.
Yeah, I love him to death.
Kiss him right square on the face for me. I love that man.
Oh, he's so sweet. All right, well, thank you so much for coming on, and we hope to talk to you again very soon.
Me too, y'all. Right. Have a good night.
Have a good night, too. Bye-bye.
And for everybody listening, make sure to check out Shelly's website. You can also go on her website at www.shelly.com, and you can order her book online. You can also find out about her charity organization, Reading Writing Rhythm Foundation. It's www.rwandr.org. So check that out.
Ooh. Got to pull it together.
I know.
Huh?
You got to lock it up, girl. It's all right. She's a beautiful.
Just amazing. And it's,
beautiful speaker.
It's, you know, it was hard for me coming out, and it's still hard to this day. And I think that it's just so good to see people like her, you know, who's just proud of herself. And I love it. I want to thank again Shelly Wright for, you know, coming on the show. And you can also go to our website, outspokenradio.net, and you can click on the link if you want to buy her book. And it's on right there on the front page of the website. We hope that you stay tuned. We're just going to play a little song, and then we'll be right back with more Outspoken Radio right after this.
On time, it's just the way that January brings resolutions. Well, February's not too steady, days are less than all the other months. And June's forever new, it always comes when summer's just begun.
That's right, everyone. We are back. You are listening to Outspoken Radio.
I just can't get it.
It's because I had to lock it up.
I know you did.
Whew, I got all emotional there, and I don't know. My heart melted.
Yeah. She was incredibly eloquent. She was just a lovely lady. Absolutely wonderful.
Just beautiful inside and out.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It was great to have her, and I appreciate it.
Yay.
And, And speaking of courageous people. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people have heard about the courageous teenager who I think he's from Michigan.
Yep, Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Michigan, 14 years old. His name is Graham Taylor. And he was defending his teacher who I guess got suspended because he disciplined some children who had like
a Confederate
flag on their belt and also with some homophobic remarks and stuff.
Yeah, well, it was his teacher, Jay McDowell, mm-hmm. and he had a student in his class who was wearing a Confederate belt buckle, but it was during Spirit Week, which mm-hmm. was the week where they were appreciating differences and your freedom of sexuality and everything, you know, you're being open. And the teacher told them that, you know, the Confederate flag symbolizes a time in our country when there was hate for, you know, a whole race of people. And so the kid got up and just started then just throwing some slanderous and homophobic remarks around. And then the teacher, and so he threw him out of class. And then the teacher was actually suspended and, like, docked pay. And there was, I guess, a board meeting and for the education board, and Graham Taylor went, and he spoke out for his teacher and said, this is wrong, and I'm gay, and I've attempted suicide, I think, twice at that point, and he was 14.
Oh, I have a little clip of him speaking that I would like to play, if we can hear it. Let's see if we can hear it.
My father is Kirk Taylor. He's a teacher at Heartland, and he tells me about things that go on in this area, and it seems like a nice community. I myself am gay, and I'm a young person, and that can cause lots of trouble. And when you hear of things like Dr. King's speech, that one day he wanted his grandchildren, his posterity, to not be judged on the color of their skin, but the content of their character, I hope that one day we too can be judged on the content of our character and not who we love. Howell is the headquarters for the Ku Klux Klan. Does that really sound great on your racism record? The fact that they chose this city to come into? And you probably want to get rid of that. So how would you like more headlines of Howell denies gays, Howell doesn't protect them? This teacher, whom I fully support, finally stood up and said something. I've been in rooms, in classrooms, where children have said the worst kinds of things. The kinds of things that helped drive me to a suicide attempt when I was only 9 years old. These are the things that hurt a lot.
Wow. Just so great set. I mean, by 14 years old,
so well
that
spoken.
Is just brilliant. But I didn't want to forget, I always forget, if you want to add anything to our conversation, you can call us at 818-602-4929. Once again, that number is 818-602-4929. If you would like to add anything to our conversation that we are talking about.
With Mr. Graham Taylor. Young just, guy that's just really on top of it. And I think I'm hoping that this movement that is happening right now in our country and all over the world is just going to keep on getting bigger and better, because it's the fact that kids are embracing who they are, their sexuality, who they are as a person, and are unafraid to speak out. And it sounds like he's got a father who's incredibly supportive, and family who's supportive. And I encouraged him, I'm sure, to speak. I think that this kid is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, just
like
brilliant.
Just absolutely fearless. And apparently Ellen does too, because what were you saying?
It was good to see Ellen. I guess he was on Ellen DeGeneres' show today, and she gave him a $10,000 scholarship. And I think that, you know, just so nice.
Good job, Ellen.
Helping out, and I think it's great.
Good job, girl.
Speaking of talk show hosts, as we all know, this is Oprah's last year on the air.
It'd
be sad to see the big O go.
Big O. Yeah, you called her a big O.
The big O. But so Oprah has a little special, like she likes to call My Favorite Things episode. So we here at Outspoken Radio decided that we would have a My Favorite Things episode.
You guys get excited because we're going to give away a prize.
It's happening right now.
Yeah, right this second.
No, and one of our favorite things that we both can agree on is a lovely, lovely product from Lush Cosmetics.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain what it is exactly?
You guys, do your ladies, gentlemen, do your dirty pillows feel a little cushy recently? Well, you should try the lovely Jubbly's breast cream. It tightens up your booby skin. It keeps your knockers in tit-top shape. I walked into Lush and I saw this and I fell in love with the people from Lush.
Just, I mean, it's so funny. And you just, the name Lovely Jubblies and it's tit cream.
Brilliant.
Like, I mean, come on. Like, you just got it. Somebody at Lush has an amazing sense of humor and I love every second of
them. Why couldn't I think of that?
Why couldn't you
Why
think
couldn't
of that?
I think, my boobs are not saggy. They're perfect. But I know lots of people who have saggy boobs and I could have come up with that.
All right. Well, we're going to take a call right now from a lovely woman. And you know what? We'll give her a lifetime supply of lovely jubblies.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to Outspoken Radio. Who might this be?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. What kind of what accent is this?
I'm from London.
London
calling you in America.
You sound like Russell Brand.
Oh no, I'm not Russell Brand. I'm
What's your name?
Roboca Trope.
Roboca Trope.
Yeah, it's my family. I was born in Jamaica originally, so.
Oh, okay.
I wanted the tit cream. That's why I was calling.
Are you in a bathroom right now by chance?
No.
Are you sure?
Maybe.
Are you on a cell phone?
No.
Are you in Sherman Oaks, California?
Maybe.
Are you at the LA Talk Radio studios?
Maybe, yes.
Are you my co-host that just went to the bathroom?
Possibly. It's, no. I gotta go. It's, oh, okay, send it to the UK and I'll get it.
Oh, okay. I'll be sure to send it to the UK and then I will send it there. So, that was... Well, welcome back, Rebecca Tripp.
Hey there.
What were you doing just now?
Taking a big deuce.
A big deuce.
And I would appreciate you not asking me about it.
Okay.
On air.
So what's your name again?
Rebecca Tripp.
And what play are you doing recently? Is it a British play?
I was doing a British play. It's
called
Peace in Our Time.
Do you mind giving us a sample of that British accent?
I don't even know why I need to do that. Why don't we just move on, okay? I don't want to talk about this.
Okay. That's a little awkward, but I think I just got punked by my lovely co-host
there.
Maybe
you did. And I think that we need to talk about the fact that the whole world is getting punked right now.
By NKOTBSB? Uh-huh.
Yeah, girl. NKOTBSB, first of all. They are ridiculous.
They're ridiculous.
Cut out a whole B.
Well, come on. New Kids on the Block and Backstreet Boys are calling up. We have another caller. Let's find out who that is.
Who is it?
Outspoken Radio, who might this be?
Do families get in on this time?
Which family would this be?
This is Mama Meacham.
Oh, Mama Meacham. We haven't talked to you in a couple weeks.
I know. I've been sick and just everything, and it's just been crazy.
Are you feeling better, Mama Meacham?
If families are discluded from this,
are your tits sagging?
No, actually, they're kind of perky for 47, but you never know. I'm going to need it in the future.
These are for women who are...
If you're given a lifetime supply.
These are for women who are in need of some booby cream, like serious need. We're going to... It's like a tub. It's a vat of lovely jubblies that we're giving away.
I can give it to my daughter for Christmas.
No, Stacy needs a boob reduction,
the cream on top.
Mom, what are you doing with all that noise?
What are you beeping at us for, Mama Meacham?
Is your phone going dead?
No. I'm outside.
Oh.
I came away from the radio so I couldn't hear the background noise.
Oh. So where are you at right now? You're in Florida, right?
No, I'm actually, I was thinking about going to Disneyland the next couple of days, but no, I'm sitting on
that's in Florida.
Hobby Island, Georgia.
Oh, Georgia.
Georgia. Johnny's like,
I thought you were in Florida.
No, I'm going there, but I've been sick, so I'm sitting here at Tybee listening to the ocean.
Well, you get better, Mama Meacham.
Yeah, get better.
I will. Y'all's show was fantastic. You're saying that. It was great. I know people think that just because I'm Mama Meacham, it has to be great. I'm not.
My mom will tell me if the show's a hot mess, she will call me afterwards and say that was a hot mess.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. Like, maybe that's why I didn't call a couple weeks in a
row. Oh. Mama Meacham?
Mama Meacham got really offended about that show that I talked about, hooking up with the president.
I did.
Mama Meacham got
the one about sleeping naked for God.
Yeah.
Didn't start well with me.
Mama Meacham, I learned very quickly that Donnie says the first that he didn't even, it doesn't, there's no censor. It just goes right from his head to his mouth.
I know.
He surprised himself sometimes.
Some of our conversations are a trip.
Lord.
He's a trip.
All right, Mama. Well, we love you, and we appreciate you calling. And
yeah, we missed you, Mama Meacham.
Enjoy enjoy, you're in Georgia, so enjoy Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And
I will
talk to you in about 7 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
I love you, too.
Mama Micho.
Bye-bye.
Back streets, back.
All right, everybody. Yeah. Rock that body. Yeah.
Okay, that's enough.
That's
enough. Okay, so the
The American Music Awards were last night. And there were so many great performances. Pink rocked the house as usual.
She is amazing.
I love her.
Love that
girl. She's my inspiration.
And, okay, so anybody who saw that performance, there was a point in towards the end of the song where Dan Finnerty from the Dan Band made a special appearance because he was actually had a concert at Club. It's Club Nokia, right?
Club Nokia,
Club Nokia. And,
that's here in LA.
Which I saw, yes. And he's amazing and fabulous. The Dan Band. Go see. Go see it, people. Go see it. He's hilarious and brilliant, and they paid him a little tribute, and he was there.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up, because I when we watched it together, and just to rewatch the clip, and I didn't know who that was.
No.
And I thought it was, I was like, I thought they were making fun of her performance from the Grammys, you know, where she kind of did the glitter in the air thing, and then so I didn't know that's who he was, and it was good to get all that cleared up.
Yeah, no, he does that in his act. It's like his second encore. He does Glitter in the Air from Pink because he covers girl songs.
That's funny.
And sings it with him and two other guys. But I love them both. But in terms of the NKOTBBSB performance,
you're not gonna let that go, are you?
No, girl, it's two B's. I felt that they left a little to be desired. I did not see as much Joey McIntyre as I wanted to, and I used to have a big ass button with Joey on it.
See, my sister was a huge NKOTB fan.
Yeah.
And she loved them. And I was a huge Backstreet Boys fan.
You got the right stuff.
Because, I mean, the generation there, was like, they were like, what, 10 years apart, probably?
Girl,
the Backstreet Boys and New Kids on the Block? 20 years apart?
Maybe.
No, I'd say 10.
10 years? I don't know. It's not 10 years. It's maybe like 6.
Really? But they were both huge in their own right. I mean, you got to admit, the performance was good. Like, it was a show.
When they sing together,
it was good. Well, because they all drown each other out.
Exactly. But when they sing individually, like that Brian guy from Backstreet Boys sucked.
And he was like the lead singer when Backstreet Boys was big. Like he was the, you can tell they definitely used a lot of auto-tune for BSB back then in the day.
Donnie Wahlberg from NKOTB sucked.
Man.
He did. He was the first one that sang and he sucked. And I didn't see any of Joey McIntyre, and he was the one that was like the cutie, young, had the high voice. But just, I guess, I don't know if he just can't hang anymore or what. But
they're all in their, what, they're all in their 40s 80s. By now? 80, I don't know about 80. But the thing, it was good to see Nick Carter. Looks like he laid off the crack.
He definitely put that Coke and gave it to Bobby Brown.
Hello.
Said, here, Bobby, you have it.
Gave it to Aaron. And there, I don't know what happened to Aaron's career, but it's there somewhere.
He looked much better than he
looked. He looked good.
Yeah, he was not a hot mess.
He was a little tan and he was nice. And he was actually, I thought he was the better singer out of all of them.
Well, out of Backstreet Boys, I thought in terms of New Kids on the Block, Jordan Knight was actually
Jordan Knight.
The best singer.
Yeah, he was really good.
I liked him.
The AMAs were wonderful. You got to congratulate Justin Bieber at, what is he, 14 years old?
Why do you have to congratulate Justin Bieber?
He won, I mean, Artist of the Year. That's huge for a young guy. And
I don't have to congratulate him. He's stupid. It just means that there are a ton of stupid little girls that are allowed to vote.
That's
or
not
whatever.
True. But it was sad. It was heartfelt because he brought up Usher and he asked Usher because Usher found him and helped him career. And he was really, it meant a lot to him. And I think that that was good, that it meant a lot to him. I mean, I love his, you know, his lesbian haircut. I love that.
He looks like a little mop. Looks like a little,
but he's a little
mop,
cute mop
that thinks that he's a big old rapper is what he is.
Wow, you need to come up with some clever sayings. I'm just
throwing it
out there.
Girl, I was trying because I just don't care about the Bieber.
I love the Biebs.
I know people who like him.
I have Bieber fever.
I do not. What's that song that he sings?
Oh my gosh. I'm always singing it at work.
Yeah, always. We're in the kitchen and we're always singing
it. Oh my gosh.
What is it?
Of course you call me out and I can't think. It's like, no. Oh, baby. Baby. Oh,
baby.
Like, who doesn't love that song?
I love that song. I think that the Biebster is going to, his voice is going to change. He's going to get a pot belly and he's going to live in a trailer somewhere up north. I don't know where, but that's what I predict for him in his future. And he's going to tell all the people that come to visit him in his trailer about the time that he won the Artist of the Year at the AMAs.
Wow. That was our positive insight from Becca Tripp. She's here to lift you up and guide you on the right path.
Congratulations, Justin Bieber.
All right. Well, we want to say thank you again to Shelley Wright for coming on the show.
Thank you, Shelley.
And don't forget, We are not the only show here on LA Talk Radio. There's lots of lovely shows, but shows that are our dear friend. There's The Alternative with Terry LeGrand, which is on Sundays at 6 p.m. And he also has a show on Thursdays called Journey to Recovery, which talks about recovery from alcohol and stuff like that. And that's on Thursdays at 6. The Sheena Metal Experience. Which is Monday through Friday from 5 to 7. I like the aftermath, Becca, over there. And then Tony Sweet, our dear friend and sweetheart. He comes on at Fridays at 6 p.m. Fridays at 6 p.m. It's On Air with Tony Sweet. All right, everyone. That was another episode of... I only say episode because I know you hate it when I say episode. That was another episode of Outspoken Radio right here on LA Talk Radio. Don't forget, we come to you live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Don't forget, we are available on iTunes Podcast. You can download all the past shows. You can also go to the archive page at latalkradio.com/Donnie. .php. Check it out. We're available as an Android app, an iPhone app. We're everywhere. Anywhere.
Get it, girl. Get it.
Outspokenradio.net. Check out the website. I spent hours on it. I would appreciate it. All right, everyone. We want to say happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Turkey Day.
Yes. Enjoy your friends, family, and
loved ones.
Go take
over something like the Pilgrims did.
And don't catch your turkey on fire.
Good last party words. Awesome.
All right, guys. We'll see you next Monday. Have a good night.
You're listening to Outspoken Radio with Donnie and friends right here on LA Talk Radio.